Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
So now the college football season is officially over. It's all about evaluating and projecting those players and figuring out which ones will make the Steelers a more competitive outfit. 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. That was Ohio State quarterback and Pennsylvania native Will Howard, who's from Downington. He said town last night.
Yeah, it is Downingtown.
Downingtown.
Home of, I think, Victory Brewing is out there.
Pennsylvania. Right. Does that mean he's a cake eater? Is that a big snobby?
No, it's one of those deals where, like, that far away from the city proper here would be, like, well past Cranberry, but it's, like, very populated. The old Paoli Pike runs through there. You're pretty close to Westchester.
Oh, yes, Donnie, ever been on the Paoli Pike?
You're near Westchester, the best Chester.
Yeah.
That used to be my old stomping grounds out there.
So, what do you think? Jeremy Fowler did a piece with NFL executives predicting what moves will get made in 2025. And his guy, whoever guys that he talked to about this, predicted Steelers would bring back Fields. And that they draft the quarterback. And the consensus seems to be that among the guys who played in the college football playoff, that Howard may have done the most to enhance his stock of anybody. And I believe a couple of things here. The first is most franchise quarterbacks are picked in the first round. 21 out of 32 NFL starting quarterbacks right now are first-round picks. Among the guys that are still left playing in the playoffs, three of the four are first-round picks. So I would say history tells you if you want a guy that is going to elevate your team and get you to championships, the place to get them is in the first round of the draft. Now, there have been teams lately that have gone to Super Bowls with guys that weren't picked in the first round, be cheaper. And the team was able to assemble a great roster of players around that guy. Brock Purdy in San Francisco and Jalen Hurts, what he's done in Philadelphia. So that's the other way. That's the plan B. That's the alternative route to try to win a championship. I don't advise it. I don't recommend it. But I wouldn't want to argue against it, Chris, because if you're a team like the Steelers and right now you're kind of in a dead end, you've got Ray Fittipaldo coming on the station today saying something like they haven't been in this kind of spot in a very long time as far as how bleak it looks for them, how dreadful it looks for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's probably going to end up being a wasted pick if you expect the guy to become a legit number one quarterback. But when you're in this spot, I don't have a problem with just taking a flyer on somebody and seeing if...
In the middle rounds, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, or really, I'm going to say, like this executive said, really at any point in the draft.
I don't like just, it this year. It's supposed to be one of, again, a terrible quarterback draft compared to next year
and
the year after.
And I would say back to you on that.
The last time they took a quarterback in a bad quarterback draft, it worked out great.
Well, but the best player to take in that terrible quarterback draft was the last guy that went off the board.
I would take a flyer in like the late rounds. They have holes on their roster, man. Like you can get useful players in the middle rounds.
Biggest hole on their roster?
Quarterback, which is why I would like to see them just go with Justin Fields for a year and then try to use picks to move up.
So just ignore the biggest hole on their roster then.
I would want to address it via the draft in 26 or 27, that's for sure, not in 25. Be such a desperate, short-sighted move by them. They're also not the kind of team that I think has the offensive infrastructure and coaching and philosophy in place where they might see something in a guy in this year's draft and I'd go, wait a minute, the Steelers are pretty bright. If they like this guy, it's a good job to take him.
But why would taking Will Howard and let's just throw out there the fourth round, why would that preclude them from taking a quarterback in the first round in 2026?
It wouldn't, but I don't think that they're wired that way. I think if they took the guy in the fourth round, they might say, oh, we can groom him to be the starter.
Based on who would be setting that agenda for the organization? Who would be the person saying, we took a guy in the fourth round, therefore
the owner. The owner would say, if we see something, they might take him in the third round. They seem to at least allegedly feel like Mason Rudolph was their guy of the future.
Oh, they definitely felt well. At one point, I know Colbert felt that way. I don't think Tomlin really ever felt that way, but at least one of their big power brokers did.
I wonder how scarred Mike is about rookie quarterbacks in general or young quarterbacks in general with what happened to Pickett. He benched Fields after a 4-2 young quarterback so he could put Wilson in there.
Well, that's why, based on that, I think he would be more likely to take one in the middle rounds than he would in the early rounds, because then he could couch it as, well, we need the position filled, but I didn't put all my eggs in one basket to do it. I tried to middle it. I tried to find the answer without doing what you did, which is overdraft or try to fill other needs.
I mean, just trying to middle it just seems like a recipe for this team for disaster, that's all. I just don't think that... The reason Brock Purdy works, and I even can admit this to you, because we used to argue about it endlessly and stupidly since we were arguing who's better, Pickett or Purdy, which is just an absurd concept to even be bringing up. If Purdy ends up on the Steelers, he's probably just a guy who never even has started an NFL game at this point. He ended up in a very good spot where he could, A, show his talents, have the opportunity, and plays in a system that is, by and large, very beneficial for quarterbacks.
I don't know about that. I want to say you're wrong, because Shanahan apparently was telling John Lynch and other people, much like Belichick did with Brady, that when Purdy was buried on the depth chart there, he would say to them, hey, I think this guy is actually my best quarterback.
Who here is... Okay, but he's the head coach, so when he says that, it carries more weight. Yep. I also think he probably has, if not final, damn near final say on player acquisition.
Yep, does Mike.
You think Mike is going to bring in like a fourth or fifth round quarterback? Like Will Howard in the fourth round, and Mike's going to watch him and even give him a mental chance to say, this guy's actually the best quarterback? Come on. That's not going to happen. If that was the case, then Rudolph would have probably gotten the starting job last year because everyone and their brother told everyone that he was the best of the three quarterbacks in camp.
Okay, but to go back to what Mike has said repeatedly for years, Mason doesn't fit Mike's profile.
Why are we putting any stock in Mike's profile for what he wants in a quarterback? I know that he's got the basic parameters right. You want a more mobile guy. Mike doesn't know how to... He wouldn't know a good quarterback prospect if one walked up and smacked him in the face. He wouldn't.
But he doesn't think that way. So
he's wrong.
I understand.
There are a lot of things he thinks he's right about that he's wrong about.
I know, but if you have a... If you are unaware...
If he wants mobile quarterback, then you take Jalen Milroe, period. And that's your developmental project, even if he's a late first-round pick. If you want a guy that's a lottery ticket that fits what Mike likes, then you should take Jalen Milroe, who is athletic enough to make systems obsolete.
Sure, but I'm saying if he's gone by the time you pick in the first round, does that mean you just don't take a quarterback in this draft? You don't at least try to get a guy with one of your picks later and see if he's Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson or one of these exceptions to the rule. I get it. The odds are that the guy probably isn't your answer. But when you don't have an answer, I think you have to try to find a young answer in every draft, whether that's round 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7. I think every year until you find your answer at quarterback, you should bring in a new young quarterback. That doesn't mean you pick one in the first round every year.
Well, that's the PFF theory where, like, we used to ask Steve Palazzolo when he worked there, like, right, if a team took 7 quarterbacks that needed a quarterback, would you rate that as a good draft? And he'd say, yeah, 7 chances to max out.
So that's why I'm saying, like,
what they need.
I was not really high on Will Howard. I did not think of him as a guy that was a potential NFL quarterback or someone that would fit the Steelers. But yes, I'm going to endorse or support the idea
of taking looks like a guy.
Yeah, you know who I thought just looked like a guy? Bo Nix.
Again, was Bo Nix coached by Mike Tomlin and his staff or Sean Payton? And it pains me to say that because I ripped Sean Payton, but I was wrong.
I mean,
Bo Nix is like he's not even a year younger than Justin Fields, so there's something to that too.
Yeah, but the difference is that Bo Nix was a raw piece of clay with no NFL resume and just a blank canvas player. Justin Fields had shown in a ton of games, things that made you think he could play in the NFL, like his running ability and his arm strength, things that didn't make you think he could play consistently in the NFL.
I'm concerned about Will Howard like I am any quarterback who is experiencing a meteoric rise up boards, in this case because he had a great final 4 games of his career. Like that's Pickett was a one-year wonder.
Yeah, I know, but the difference is instead of like having to bet on the meteoric rise and use the 21st pick on him, you're doing it with a pick in the 90s or something like that.
I don't even trust them to give guys like that a fair shake necessarily. I mean, they picked Rudolph, what, in the 80s? Low 80s, 82
yep.
or something?
Yeah.
He never actually had he had a chance his second year, but he blew it. And then he never really, when he actually threw together 3 good games, I think they, in the end, rightly didn't go back to him the next year. I don't know. I just have, you know what this comes back to? I have zero trust in their ability to take a quarterback who might have some flaws but otherwise could be a very good NFL player and get that player out of him. Like, I need...
And I agree with you, but that doesn't mean that... By that logic, you would say the next Steelers quarterback has to be a veteran because if it isn't, they're going to screw up whoever they get.
Or it has to be like either a legitimate can't-miss prospect or a guy who's so athletic you're just willing to take lottery ball shots on
Donnie,
the idea
you're
that
a quasi-Ohio State fan. You've watched all these guys and have pegged them as future Steelers or potential Steelers. Where do you come down on Howard?
Sometimes it's tough when you see the big school quarterback that, I mean, he was also only there for a year, but he like didn't really emerge until the last few games of the season. Also consider the amount of talent that is around him that can make a quarterback like him look good.
And that's always been the knock on Ohio State quarterbacks until Stroud Stroud did, even though they didn't have a great year this year.
He's really the only recent guy that has broken
but
that
But he only
mold.
Opened eyes because against a more talented team in Georgia, he was their best player. Like, he actually looked the part when the other team was better man for man than they were pretty much across
but look
the board.
At, but I mean, not to get too granular here, too in the mud, but I mean, Ohio State beat Texas, and Texas took Smith away, who's looked at as the best player in college football, and Howard still had a really good game against them. So that is, like, in my opinion, a feather in his cap because you could...
Because he could throw to another first-round pick in Igbuka.
Yeah.
And probably another one or two that they also
Right.
I don't know. You put Will Howard on the Steelers, he ain't surrounded by the best roster top to bottom in his sport. He's on a roster that's like actually kind of deficient on that side of the ball.
Sure.
With some Stone Age ideas for what offense should look like.
Also agree with that.
I get why you need to take quarterbacks because you got to take swings, but it just feels like such a futile discussion when we both agree that, yeah, they need to do that, and also we agree that in most cases, the guy's not going to be talented enough to overcome the crap infrastructure around him here.
I mean, it's probably going to end up being a wasted pick other than having somebody that could come in as a backup. But when you're the Steelers and you're in this predicament, why the hell not?
I know. It just feels like it's a dead end for them, which, again, this is me just
Donnie,
saying, like, I'm bummed out.
I'm sorry. I didn't even let you finish your point. So you were bringing up Ohio State quarterbacks and how, you know, he did get...
Yeah, which sometimes I think is a little bit of an overrated point where everyone just writes them off immediately because of how much talent is around them. I just don't care for the idea of them going after a quarterback, really, unless a guy, like, slides to them that is someone who should have gone, at least they think or others think, a round or two before, and it slides all the way to them at, I don't know, whatever pick it would be in like the fourth round, fifth round. I don't know.
I am guilty of this. I think we've got to do away with that thinking. Like, because a guy was pegged by the, like, Todd McShays and Mel Kuypers as this rated prospect, that, okay, now that he was supposed to go, according to the media guys, in the first round, he's available in the third round, so it's okay to take him.
Well, I'm also saying if it's like on, if it coincides with like their board, like what they have, like, hey, this dude is still there and we are about to pick again, we should just take him. We thought he would be gone, but he is still here.
I kind of think, and I won't say like reach, where if you have a guy slotted one place, you take him 50 slots earlier than he's supposed to. But I think if you've got a third round grade on Will Howard, you take him in the third round. I think if you've got a fourth round grade on Will Howard, you take him in the fourth round if you're the Steelers.
What if you've got a third round grade, or everyone else does, on a safety from a middling ACC school? You take him 27th overall, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, definitely. For sure. And if you think a quarterback can be a franchise quarterback,
take him after,
you take
the
his
receiver.
Wide receiver yeah. from the school instead
for
of
sure.
him. Yeah.
And if you think your offense needs to be rebuilt, you give your aging quarterback who can barely throw the ball and wants to get rid of it in 2 seconds a running back and a tight end.
I mean, even the teams evaluate these guys wrong. I think just about every team would have taken Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels with the first pick in this draft. And that Washington got totally lucky that they picked second instead of first.
Sure, it's a reverse Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf situation
yep.
in that regard. I remember thinking Daniels, I mean, even though
he came on this season, same thing the draft before with Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. They got all this time to pour into these guys and evaluate them, and the teams pick the wrong ones.
I think
ones.
It's hard until it is hard until you see the guy actually out there and like what happens.
So that's why I'm saying, like, this team is so lost at quarterback. Okay, there's nobody per se who's good enough to take at 21, but why not take somebody in the middle rounds and just hope that you got lucky?
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, $4.99 per pound. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Exclusive digital deal of the week. Lucerne shredded, sliced, or chunk cheese, 6.84 to 8 ounce varieties, $1.97 each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.